The following sermon, Raising Virtuous Daughters, number 8 in the series on Proverbs for Parenting, was preached on the morning of March 14, 2021, at Hope Protestant Reformed Church of Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's open God's Word this morning to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. We will read the whole chapter. The text for this morning's sermon will be verses 10 through 31, and on account of its length, we will not reread the text. Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what the son of my womb? What the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And now verses 10 and following are the text. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We end our scripture reading at that point. We are currently in the middle of a baptism series entitled Proverbs for Parenting. And it's my plan to preach two sermons in this series from this well-known chapter, Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 contains the words of wisdom of Lemuel, who was a king. There are many who understand Lemuel to be another name for Solomon. Others say he is some foreign king. Well, either way, the words that he gives us here are the inspired words of the Spirit that were passed down to Lemuel from his mother. His mother gives him good instruction. First, instruction concerning how he is to live as a young man and king, but then also what to look for in a future spouse. And our plan with this chapter is to use it to give more specific instruction regarding the raising of sons and daughters. This morning we focus on the second half of the chapter to receive more specific instruction about the raising of our daughters, as the second half of the chapter sets before us the virtuous woman. And then, the Lord willing, the next time we have a son born in the congregation, we'll turn to the first half of the chapter and use that to give us guidance with the raising of our sons. But now, although these sermons will have a specific focus, that does not mean they are limited in their application. For example, this morning's sermon applies to parenting in general, so that if, for example, you have only sons sitting next to you, it's not as though that there's nothing for you in this sermon, but rather what we have to say here does generally apply to the raising of all children, sons and daughters. This also has application for those of us who are not parents. Regardless of what stage we are at in our lives, because in looking at the virtuous woman and the godly man, we have set before us how God would have us to live as men and women in the congregation. These sermons also have good application for the single members of the church. As far as what to look for in a spouse, that's really the point of verse 10. This is a mother speaking to her son, and she says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Implying that you're looking for a virtuous woman, that you're seeking a virtuous woman. Lemuel, this is the type of woman to look for. And so there's instruction for the young men. Look for a virtuous woman and a spouse if you desire to be married. And for the young woman of the congregation, this is the type of young woman you must be and become by God's grace for the sake of the glory of God. But then this is also the type of woman that will attract the young man who is looking for the right things in a future spouse. And so there's application for all of us. So this morning, let's consider Proverbs 31, verses 10 and following under the theme, Raising Virtuous Daughters. Raising virtuous daughters. First, we'll look at the portrait of the virtuous woman. Second, the raising of virtuous women. And third, the value of virtuous women. Proverbs 31 sets before us a portrait of the virtuous woman. And now this specific woman in the text is one who is married and who has children. And now that's not to say that you must be married and you must have children in order to be a virtuous woman. That's clearly not the point. But yet, the fact that the virtuous woman is portrayed in this way does show us that, in general, this is God's will for the women of the church, that they seek a husband and that they desire to have children. And now about this virtuous woman, there are especially five things that stand out about her. We will take them largely in the order that they occur. First, the virtuous woman is one who is faithful to her husband. That's clear from the opening verses, verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So faithful is this woman that her husband has no reason to doubt anything about her. He trusts in her. And then verse 12, she will do, and does not just say good and not evil, but she will do him good and not evil toward her husband. And what this is teaching us is the virtuous woman is a help meet for her husband, a suitable helper. She is a submissive wife who takes all of her gifts, all of her abilities, and presses them into the service of the home and into her family. And so faithful is this virtuous woman that her husband is even respected on her account. That's evident from verse 23 of the chapter. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. The gates in the Old Testament were both the place of business and commerce, as well as the place where the court of law was found. And this husband is well respected there. He's prominent in the city among the people. But now the fact that we're told that about this husband in the context of verses about a woman indicates that a part of what makes him respectable to others is his virtuous wife. Her faithfulness and everything else we're going to say about this woman is a part of what gives this man the standing that he has in the church. So that there is truth to the saying that behind every great man is a great woman. So first, the virtuous woman is faithful to her husband. Second, she's characterized by selfless devotion to her family. Selfless devotion to her family. And in many ways, that's the emphasis here in this chapter. For example, she's one who makes sure her family is well fed. Verse 15, she ariseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat, food, to her household, and a portion to her maidens. And understand, this woman goes to great lengths to make sure her family is well fed. In verse 14, we read she's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She goes to great lengths to make sure her family is fed. She also ensures that they're clothed. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And now the fact that her family's well fed and they're well clothed are but two specifics of what Lemuel has in mind when he sums up her selfless devotion in verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household. The virtuous woman is one characterized by selfless devotion. She's selfless, that is, she places the needs of others before her own. She's willing to sacrifice of her time and of her energy. She's also devoted. That's stated negatively in verse 27, the second half. She eateth not the bread of idleness. This is not a woman who squanders her time with worthless things. This is not a woman who spends large portions of the day browsing the internet or checking social media. She's diligent. She works hard, even as verse 15 indicates. She riseth also while it is yet night, before the break of day. She's up. She's active. Because she knows there is much that needs to be done for her family. So that, secondly, she is a woman characterized by selfless devotion. Third, she's also merciful in her care of the poor. She's characterized by merciful care of the poor. And we say that in light of verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In other words, yes, this woman is focused on her family, but that is not to the exclusion of anyone else. It's not the case that she's so inward focused that she fails to ever look out and see the needs of others. But instead, she's one who shows mercy toward the poor. She cares for them. She even seeks out the poor. It says she stretcheth out her hand. She reacheth forth her hands. It's an act of mercy on her part to look to the poor. And now from this, it's not a stretch to say that this implies that this woman is immersed in the life of the church. Because if we ask the question, well, what poor is she caring for? Well, if this is a mother in Israel, she's caring for her fellow Israelites, the fellow members of the church. This is a woman who understands the truth of Galatians 6 verse 10, which calls us to do good unto all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And therefore, this woman will help any needy person that God places upon her path, the way the Samaritan woman, the good Samaritan did. But yet her focus is on those who are walking the paths alongside of her. Not only her family, but the church. So that the virtuous woman is the one who's helping the needy in the congregation, whether it's providing a meal, whether it's volunteering her time in some way. Her life is immersed in the church. Fourth, the virtuous woman speaks wise and kind words. Wise and kind words, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In other words, this woman is the very opposite of the Proverbs 21 woman. We know well the Proverbs 31 woman, but Proverbs 21 also has a couple of verses about women. In verse 9, for example, we read this. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Verses 9 and 19 of Proverbs 21 speak of a brawling, contentious woman. And understand, she's not fighting with her fists. She's fighting with her mouth. The words that she speaks, she's filled with anger. She's always fighting. These verses tell us it's best to stay far away from such a woman, to have nothing to do with that kind of a woman. Well, in sharp contrast to that, the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, is one who speaks words of wisdom and kindness. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. That is, she only opens her mouth when it's wise to speak. She's someone who is not characterized by rashness, but she's slow to speak. And furthermore, that she opens her mouth with wisdom means that what comes out of her mouth is characterized by wisdom. What comes out of her mouth is saturated in the truths of God's Word. And furthermore, in her tongue is the law of kindness. There's a law that governs her mouth that says, I'm only going to say it if it's kind. And if it's not kind, if it's not loving, if it's not going to build the other person up, well, I'm not going to say it then. Because that law governs her tongue, the law of kindness. We're giving a portrait of the virtuous woman. We said first about her that she's faithful to her husband. Second, she's characterized by selfless devotion for her family. Third, she's merciful in her care of the poor. Fourth, she speaks words of wisdom and kindness. And now, fifth and most importantly, she is full of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. This tells us, verse 30 tells us her true beauty. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now understand, verse 30 is put at the end of this description, because this is what explains everything that precedes it. Everything that we've already described about this woman flows from this, the fact that she fears the Lord. That is, she knows the Lord. She's a woman of the Word, a woman who spends time on her knees with God in prayer. And on account of that knowledge, she reverences Him. That is, she has an understanding of His glory, of His greatness, so that she has a high view of God, a sense of awe and majesty before Jehovah God. Because she knows Him and reverences Him, it means she also serves Him. She does not want to offend her God. She does not want to do anything that's going to displease her covenant Lord. She's a woman characterized by fear, reverence for the Lord, which also implies wisdom. Because after all, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if she has the fear of the Lord, that means she's a wise woman. She not only knows God's Word, but she's been given the spiritual grace to apply that Word to the various situations, the various circumstances of life. And again, this wisdom explains so much of what we've already said as far as the character of this virtuous woman. But now as we zero in on her heart, that helps us to see the source of this woman's virtue. The fact that she fears the Lord is the source of everything we see on the outside, but where does that fear come from? Well, it points us to the fact that Jesus Christ is at work in the heart of the virtuous woman. For the fear of the Lord comes only from the work of the Spirit of Christ in the hearts and lives of His people. If we ask, where does her wisdom come from? The answer is from Christ. For as Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Our wisdom. And thus this woman's virtue therefore comes from God Himself. She is the object of His grace. Christ Himself is at work in her heart, molding her and shaping her so that she is His workmanship. As one author put it, the virtuous woman is one who has received a makeover in God's spiritual beauty parlor. He is the one who produces virtuous women. He alone is able to do so. But now that raises the question for us as parents. Does this mean we are off the hook? If God alone can produce the virtuous woman, does that mean we can sort of just step back and really just let Him go about His work apart from us? Does it mean that as long as Christ is at work in the hearts of our children, that it doesn't really matter how we parent our children? The obvious answer is no. We still have a calling as parents. We take vows as parents that we recognize we are duty-bound to instruct our children, recognizing that God uses us as parents, as instruments, as tools in His hand for the salvation of our children. And thus, we seek to raise virtuous daughters and godly sons, all the while committing our children to our God, praying for our children and asking God to bless our weak and feeble labors as parents. Now, how then are we to raise virtuous daughters? Regarding the raising of virtuous daughters, while there are many things that could be said, we will again give five this morning. First, we raise virtuous daughters by setting before them the biblical ideal of a virtuous woman. And that's crucially important because the world around us has a very different ideal. And that model for what the world believes a woman should be and look like is one that's been formed by feminism. Feminism is opposed to what we said in the first point regarding this virtuous woman. Feminism despises the notion that a virtuous woman is one who is dedicated to her husband. One who's devoted to her family. Because for feminism, a woman is one who should use her gifts and her abilities for her own self-advancement. Feminism says a woman should strive to reach her highest potential, to be on top. Feminism wants to do away with the distinction between the role of a man and the role of a woman, between the role of a father and the role of a mother. Wants nothing to do with that. And you know, one of the main ways this is promoted, right? One of the main ways this agenda is promoted is through Disney movies. The female characters of Disney movies are more and more a portrait of the feminist ideal for a woman. And even those who are strong advocates of feminism point to Disney as the paradigm. Those who want to see feminism promoted say, look at Disney, and everyone else should follow suit. Follow their example because they're doing a good job of promoting this ideal. Parents, the world wants to instruct our children. The world wants to foist upon us and our children its own idea about what a woman should be. Over against that, we must set before our children the biblical ideal, the biblical portrait. That is, we must promote the Proverbs 31 woman and tell our daughters, look here, daughter, this is the type of woman God Himself would have you to be. This means pointing out to our daughters the biblical examples of godly women so that our daughters grow up more familiar with women like Phoebe and Tabitha and the many others rather than being more familiar with the various Disney characters. This means giving our daughters instruction from God's Word concerning what it means to be a woman, concerning gender, rather than leaving it to the world to fill their minds. The point is, we must teach our daughters generally the way we would teach any child, but we must also give tailored, specific instruction that's helpful for them in their unique position as daughters. So first, we set before them the biblical ideal of a virtuous woman. Second, raising virtuous daughters means focusing on inner beauty of the heart rather than on the outer beauty of appearance. This is implied in verse 30 of the text. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is evident from a passage like 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. And now all of this needs to be said exactly because it is a temptation to focus on the outward appearance. And that temptation is there in part because of the world. For many in the world, this is what is most important for a woman, her outward beauty. And that mentality can creep into the church and begin to infect our daughters if we're not careful. So that our daughters begin to spend more time in front of the mirror in the bathroom than they do in front of the mirror of God's Word. It can be that our daughters are more focused on physical exercise for the sake of having an attractive body than they are on exercising themselves unto godliness. Godliness which is profitable for this life and the life that is to come. And now to be clear, by giving this warning, that is not to say that it's wrong to attend to one's outward appearance. There's nothing sinful about being beautiful or even about dressing nice. And that's even evident here in Proverbs 31. Because what do we read about this woman in verse 22? She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Silk and purple. This woman wears nice clothing. She's respectable in the way that she dresses, and therefore it's no virtue to dress slovenly. It's no virtue to give no attendance to one's physical body. But now with that qualification in place, the main point we're making, though, is that we must focus on the inward beauty of our daughters. We must teach them to cultivate that spiritual beauty, the fear of the Lord that's described here. Because our daughters know very well how to make themselves beautiful externally. And they're often willing to put in the time necessary to do so. So that if a young man is coming to pick our daughter up around 5:30 for a date, our daughters know the process of taking a shower, doing their hair, applying makeup, picking out a cute outfit. So that when that young man does show up, she looks very nice. But now we must teach our daughters that far more important than that is that they put in the time and effort to grow in spiritual beauty. So they understand the need to spend time in God's Word, to speak with their Heavenly Father in prayer, to attend to the preaching and to the sacraments and all of those other things that God Himself uses that He's appointed as means to help us grow in inner spiritual beauty. To help us develop this fear of the Lord that characterizes the virtuous woman. So how do we raise virtuous daughters? We do so by setting before them biblical ideals, by focusing on inner beauty. Third, by teaching them to be godly homemakers. Teaching them to be godly homemakers. And now this certainly includes teaching them all the skills necessary for taking care of a home and of a family. If you look at this Proverbs 31 woman, she is a very capable and gifted woman. She has acquired much knowledge in many different skills. She's a gifted cook, gardener, sewer, and so many other things describe this woman. But now if we are going to have virtuous daughters, that means those skills, that knowledge needs to be passed down so that our daughters are likewise equipped to take up their place in the home one day. That's included. But there's so much more. Because a godly homemaker is not simply someone who cooks and cleans. But a godly homemaker is one who is a godly presence in the home. We must teach our daughters that. To be a godly wife, to be a godly mother. So that we're not only teaching them the various skills they need to take care of a home, but we're teaching them how to think, how to behave, how to deal with difficult situations or difficult people. We need to catechize their behavior, giving them the guidance they need. And that requires, very simply, that we spend time with them. That we are there for them. When they come home from school. When they come home on a Friday night. Whether it's day or night. We need to be available for them as parents. To hear how their day went. To ask them how things are going with that relationship. And then, to use the language of verse 26, be ready to open our mouths with wisdom. To give them good, wise, biblically grounded advice and instruction and counsel. To help them take principles from God's Word that they already know and see how they apply to very specific situations. They just went through this night and now, my daughter, remember this principle. This will help you in that specific circumstance. We need to guide them with how to handle themselves and how to handle different situations. But now, if we're ever going to teach our daughters how to be such godly homemakers, we must recognize that this is impossible to do if our mothers are not in the home. That is, if the mothers of our daughters are focusing their time and their energy on pursuing some career, upon being in the workplace, then they will not have the time or energy to raise godly homemakers. Mothers must be in the very heart and center of the home. And that's the teaching of Psalm 128, verse 3. Psalm 128, verse 3, which says, and I quote it in the New King James Version because the New King James is excellent here on this particular verse. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. That gets at the Hebrew. Not a woman by the sides of the house, implying outside of the home, but the very heart and core of it. But now perhaps you object. But Pastor Cordes
We just read Proverbs 31. And look at all the things that that woman is doing. She's out buying and selling and
seems like she's a businesswoman. But that's not a correct understanding of Proverbs 31. Because on the one hand, we must see that Proverbs 31 is put in Old Testament language. Yes, she's out buying and selling the way that a woman today might go to the grocery store. It's put in the language of that day. But more importantly, all of those other things that this Proverbs 31 woman is doing is for the service of her family, to take care of her home, not to advance her own self or to pursue a career. The Proverbs 31 woman is a homemaker, not a businesswoman. So that thirdly, we must teach our daughters to be godly homemakers. Fourth, raising virtuous daughters requires the example of a godly mother. This is something that has been included in most of these sermons on Proverbs for parenting, the importance of a godly example in the parents. And that's especially true here. And really, it's been implied in everything we've said already. Because if the mothers of the home are focused on outward, external beauty, our daughters are going to follow suit. If the mother is out pursuing a career, trying to advance herself, our daughters are going to learn to do the same. And therefore, it's crucially important that our daughters have a godly example to follow. How are they going to learn to submit to a husband unless they see their mother doing that? How are they going to learn to put the needs of others before their own unless their mother is a model of that selfless service? And therefore, those of us who are mothers must ask this morning, am I being an example to my daughters? Can my daughters learn what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman by observing me? Mothers, they are watching. You may be sure of that. And therefore, the mother must be a godly example. So that they're learning not just from the explicit instruction from God's Word, but they're seeing it put into action by their mothers. But now, as important as the example of the mother is, there is one who is far more important for raising godly daughters. And that's Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the fifth and final thing we need to say about raising virtuous daughters. Raising virtuous daughters means we set before them the biblical ideal of a virtuous woman. It means focusing on the inner beauty of the heart. It means teaching them to be godly homemakers and having the example of a godly mother. But now, fifth and finally, and most importantly, we raise virtuous daughters by pointing them to our virtuous Savior. For Jesus Christ is indeed the virtuous Savior. One who submitted Himself to the will of His Father. So that even when according to His human nature He did not want to go to the cross, nevertheless He willingly subjected Himself to the will of His God. He's virtuous in that we see in Him selfless, sacrificial devotion to His family, to those who make up the elect body of Christ, to those who are His spiritual brothers and sisters.
He gave himself, he gave his life for us.
He's virtuous on account of his mercy to the poor and needy, to those of us who are spiritually poor and needy. He stretches out his hand toward us. He reaches down to help us in our need. He's virtuous in that he not only spoke words of wisdom, but he is wisdom. Jesus Christ is the one who is personified as divine wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8. Read that this afternoon and see Christ in that chapter. And know that's a part of what makes him such a virtuous Savior, his wisdom.
He's virtuous in that he more than anyone else was filled with the fear of the Lord, and that he had a perfect knowledge of God. He had a high view of his Father, was filled with reverence for him, and thus served him, gave himself to doing that which would glorify his Father in heaven. He is indeed a virtuous Savior. And now if we are going to raise virtuous sons and daughters, the most important thing we do is we point them to Jesus Christ. No matter what they're going through, we direct their eyes to him. We do so when they sin so that they know that there's forgiveness in him. We do so when they're battling temptation. We point them to Christ, the one who gives them the strength to live a new and godly life. When they're struggling with a relationship, with school, with work, whatever it may be, we point them to Christ, the one who's sovereign over the storms of life, the one who carries them through the difficult times by giving them his Spirit and his grace. We point them to Jesus, to his love for them. We help our daughters to see that he so loved you, my daughter. He was willing to die for you on the cross. And is that not what makes our daughters valuable? The fact that Christ died for them? The virtuous woman is indeed valuable. There's value to the virtuous woman, and that's clear from verse 10, the opening verse of the text. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 10 is saying the virtuous woman's valuable. She's precious because she's so costly. The price for a virtuous woman is far, not just as much as some beautiful rubies, but far above rubies. We can see how that is true when we consider the true cost to make our daughters virtuous women. The cost was nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it took to make them virtuous women. And therefore they are indeed valuable. But now as parents, we need to teach our daughters that this is their true value. Their worth is their identity in Christ. Their identity is not wrapped up in outward beauty.
or academic accomplishments, athletic abilities, or boyfriends, or popularity, or riches, or her performance in life. But her identity is who she is in Christ. That her life is wrapped up in His life. And therefore, that's what makes her valuable. We need to teach our daughters that. And one of the best ways to do so is by praising them whenever we see Christ-like behavior in them. You see, the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, is indeed to be praised. That's the language here. Lemuel himself heaps praise upon this virtuous woman. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Lemuel is heaping words of praise upon this virtuous woman. And he calls us to do the same. Verse 28, perhaps the most well-known verse in this entire chapter. Her children arise up and call her blessed. And her husband also. And he praiseth her. What this is teaching us is that the virtuous woman is to be commended. She's to be given a word of thanks for all of her faithfulness, her selfless devotion, so that she knows she's appreciated. But now that applies not just to those who are mothers, but it also has application to raising daughters. And this is perhaps where the role of the father is especially important. Admittedly, the focus of the sermon has been on the mother, in part because the mother does play a unique role in the raising of her daughters. She can connect with them. She can relate with them better in many ways than a father can. We've also focused on the mother because, well, this is a passage about the virtuous woman. What pastor is not going to use this as an opportunity to make application regarding women and regarding mothers? But that should not in any way minimize the role of the father as the head of the home. And one of the ways the father has a unique role is here with regard to the praise of his daughter, because fathers, whether you know it or not, our daughters long for our approval. They want affirmation from Dad. And that means that what we praise as fathers is crucially important. If the only thing we ever praise is the outward beauty, the musical gifts, the academic excellence, or the athletic ability, if that's the only thing we praise, well, then we are implicitly teaching our daughters those things are what truly matter. And therefore, the thing that we must praise more than anything else is Christ-like behavior in our daughters. In a careful way, of course, not to fill them with pride, but when Christ Himself is pleased to work in the hearts and lives of our daughters so that Christ's own virtues begin to shine forth in the lives of our daughters on account of His work in their hearts, we must praise our daughters accordingly, so as to encourage them in that walk of life, a walk of life that is pleasing to our God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are humbled by this word. We are humbled in that we recognize that we fall far short of the virtuous woman and the corresponding godly man. We are humbled in that we recognize our many deficiencies and weaknesses and failures even as parents. And therefore we pray that Thou wilt forgive us of all of our sins, wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ, at the same time so fill us with thankfulness for our salvation that we now strive to serve Thee by raising Thy covenant children, whom Thou hast given to us, in a way that's pleasing unto Thee. Grant us that grace, and hear this prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.